Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. We've reached the end of Heat Week, Joe.
We have. It's been a great week. You know, you stay hydrated. It's been a great week. I'll tell you, the last two nights, the pool at my complex has just been packed. And it's open until it's, you know, daylight's gone. And people are really pushing that line of daylight being gone. Nice to see, though. Nice to see people out. And I always say this, Brian, not on their phone. Out enjoying the outdoors.
Wasn't me. I'm sorry. I just can't deal with it. It's too much. It's I'm melting out there.
It's something I brought this up last Sunday with someone from the National Weather Service. And, you know, usually now I'm not a weather nerd. When I was five, I pretended to be the meteorologist on the Weather Channel. I'd record the radar and then stand in front of it for my parents. I don't know anything about weather. But usually when it rains, it is supposed to bring colder temp. We always say, hey, after the rainstorm, it's going to be a cold front moving in. And like none of these storms have brought any relief, even during the storm.
No. You would have had no idea when I got home yesterday that it was a massive downpour hours before. Oh. Nothing was wet or damp or it just sucked it all right back up. The only way you notice is now I have to cut the grass because like the grass grew a little bit.
In the mid-80s, Brian out there cutting his grass.
That's going to be this weekend. I wouldn't do it yesterday. It was just...
No, that's smart.
I had stuff to do also, but it was too hot.
Yeah, no, that's a smart idea. Hey, the 80s would be nice. It's going to be, you know, in the 70s at night. I'm ready. You said it perfectly earlier. Like, ideal is 70 to 75, partly sunny. I love that, right? A little bit of sun, a little bit of cloud cover. Love that. But you know what? Again, I'm going to complain in February, so I can't complain during this. I can't complain for both extremes.
You can, though.
I complain a lot.
So you can do it.
I like to pick my battles.
You can do it. I think, you know, it's fine. It's, you know, your own personal... You don't like extreme cold. You don't like extreme heat. You know what that makes you?
Normal.
A human.
Yeah. Well, speaking of human, Brian, I have a list of goals, right? I always try to mark off as many goals as I can. When I came back to radio, I put some goals out. One was having a show with my name on it. Fortunately, I got that before I was 35, so was able to check that off. Next Wednesday, and this is a goal you and I have talked about. Next Wednesday, I will be checking off another goal, throwing the first pitch at the Bisons game.
Look at that.
Next Wednesday, a 1 o'clock game. So first pitch, 12:50. I will be on the mound throwing the first pitch. So,
well, now the pressure's on me is to get my kids and the whole family in the car downtown early enough so I don't miss it.
Yeah, you don't want to miss this.
I love it.
Yeah. Now I'm going to stand on the mound. I'm letting everyone know on the mound.
Do they let you do that?
Gosh, I hope so.
Well, I always assume that when people throw the first pitch, that they're not standing on the mound for two reasons. One, because
they can't reach.
It's, you know, it's a long way for a normal person to throw and throw straight. But two, because like they don't want you on the mound where they're gonna, you know, the pitcher's gonna be and they're playing baseball.
That's a good point. Yeah, I might not be able to.
So I have no idea, but that was always my thinking. Are you I'd be so nervous.
I'm very nervous. So I got the call yesterday afternoon, and ever since then, I've been like, okay, I've been talking about this. Now I have to get the ball over home plate.
I would be more nervous to throw the first pitch than sing the national anthem.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, you've been working on this for some time.
Yes.
I want to, like, glob on to your thing. You throw the first out. Can I sing?
Sure. I mean, just let's work it out.
I'll sing before, and like one of us will be so terrible that the other one will be.
I mean,
you know, it'll be fine, whatever.
Or
who goes first? Does the first pitch happen before the anthem?
Ooh, that's a great. I think the anthem.
Yeah, so whoever goes second is like fine. So then the heat's off you. They're like, oh my gosh, everyone's going to be so distracted by how bad it is.
Yeah.
Then, if you mess up, you'd be fine.
Unless the first pitch hits the camera guy, like that person in Boston who missed the plate so much they hit the photographer.
Oh, I remember that one. That's great. You almost want to have a bad first pitch.
No.
Because those are the ones that get remembered.
They get remembered?
No one remembers the first pitch that goes over the plate, except unless you're George W. Bush.
But now I've got family taking half days of work to be at this game. The last thing I want to do is to be so bad. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if no one remembers it. I want it to just be over the plate. Now, there is another dilemma.
I'd want to hit the camera guy. I think that's like, who? Oh, there's no batter in the box. That's right.
No.
I'm like, I'm going to beam the batter.
Now, maybe we can get a seagull or something to fly in front, like Randy Johnson.
I was going to say you get a Randy Johnson, but the ball isn't moving as fast, so the bird just throws it back at you.
Or the bird just takes it with him.
Yeah.
But here's the dilemma. I'm very excited. I'm very thankful to the Bisons for giving me this opportunity. The Bisons are playing the Mets, and the Mets have three players down from the big leagues. Can I take the first pitch ball and go like to Brett Beatty?
Say, hey, no.
No? Okay.
You can't root for the other team.
I didn't say I was going to root for him. But Brett Beatty's going to be in New York in like a week or so.
You need to disavow the Mets before you do this.
Okay, I disavow the Syracuse Mets.
I think we need to go a little further than that before Wednesday.
I was born in Syracuse, so I do have a little bit of allegiance to the city of Syracuse.
Okay.
I did spend 6 months there.
It's like all
there.
The people who play for the U.S. national team in soccer. They're like, he was born, close. he can play or whatever. That's what you're claiming right now. And the Bisons used to be with the Mets, so it's not that bad.
Yeah, but I'm excited. It's like I said, I have a list of goals, and this was on that list. I get to mark it off. Hopefully the weather's beautiful. I get to mark it off next Wednesday.
I'm going to need you to disavow the Mets Wednesday before the game.
The Syracuse Mets.
And now, again, pressure's on. I've got a...
It's a 1 o'clock first pitch.
1 o'clock first pitch on Wednesday.
I also forgot until after, I thought about the date. This is the Odyssey game.
Yeah.
So there's going to be all these people
from
work.
That's why I'm there already.
Yeah. All these people from work.
Everyone from
there.
The office is going to be looking at you. And now that you said something, everyone is going to make sure we're there early enough for the first pitch.
Now, can you tell? I didn't say a word all morning because I was debating if I was actually going to tell people at work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did. Now everyone knows.
Yeah. Well, that's why you got to tell everybody.
Yeah.
So people come and see it.
Yeah. Like I said, my parents, my mom's taking a half day. My sister's taking a half day. My wife's taking a half day. So parents, family, kids, they're all going to be there.
Yeah. You still have a few more days to decide. You could totally throw away the idea of throwing a good one.
No. I'm playing catch this weekend. Like I'm going to... go to the fields at Amherst and work on my pitch.
Watch Joe come in Monday morning in a sling.
Sorry, can't throw the first pitch.
Are you going to mark it off?
It's off the list.
No. Like, you're playing catch this weekend. You're going to mark off the distance and everything?
Yeah, I'm going to stand at the mound when practicing.
Crouch. Like, no standing up here. Like, come on, get in the catcher position. This is how we're playing catch today.
I think the first pitch is to Buster Bison. I hope so. I think that's who you throw the first pitch to.
They got a whole cast of characters now. Forget who it is.
True. Now, you know why this all started, right? The story about this was years ago when I was in fifth grade. I was wearing a Disney 2000 shirt, and I was at the stadium early, and they said, hey, you want to take part in a contest? Of course. It was an Oreo stacking contest. Now, to this day, I think I won, okay? But whatever. They said it was a tie. Okay. We both got to throw the first pitch. Well, since I feel like my first pitch was taken away from me, I had to share it with someone who clearly didn't win. So 24 years later, here we are.
There you go. All right. Now I'm excited. Now I'm... You know what this is great for? I got a good excuse to leave here early on Wednesday.
That's right. That's right.
I'm booking it after the show because I got to get down. I'd be a bad teammate if I wasn't there to support you.
That's right.
I'll be there in the, you'll hear me. Boo.
You'll boo. If it's a perfect pitch, you'll boo it.
I wanted to see someone get beaned. Well, what are you doing here? No, that's awesome. Can't wait for Wednesday. So that's Wednesday, 1 o'clock, everybody. If you are in the mood down to go to the Bison's game, you
get there a little early.
Oh, yeah, a little. when they say 1 o'clock first pitch, is that your pitch or the?
No, that's their first.
That's
pitch.
Their first yeah. pitch. So a be little there, before 1 o'clock.
As I told my family, I have to be there at 12:30. Just tell yourself you're going to be there at 12:30, and yeah. then you won't miss it.
You won't miss it. All right, Joe on Wednesday throwing the first pitch. I'm excited for this.
And then we both go on vacation.
This is going to be great. Yeah, that's that's the perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you mess up, you're not heard from for the next 5 days.
No one hears from me till July 8th.
How'd it go? How'd what go? Vacation was great. All right. We've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. Now, you saw this because you're way more up on these things than I am. I didn't see until today. Bill Belichick is dating a 24-year-old ex-cheerleader.
That's right.
He's 72.
Yeah, 72, dating a 24-year-old ex-Patriot cheerleader.
Oh, from the Patriots?
I believe she was a Patriot cheerleader, but I believe like that's how they know each other from, I'm guessing...
I didn't know the cheerleaders got that kind of sideline access.
Well, hold on.
She was calling. That's why they stunk for the last few years. He's taking her advice on calling plays.
Well, so she's 24 and an ex-cheerleader. When do you retire from cheerleading?
I don't know. And I feel like that's a question I don't want to answer.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I mean, you look at some of the cheerleaders, you know, it says, you know, in their 10 years of cheerleading, like, I'm surprised at 24. Retired, but also a beauty queen. So,
well, you can retire when you're with Belichick now. I guess so. I'm looking at this picture right now of them on this yacht, and I just have a feeling that she's there through Belichick. That's not her yacht.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say so. But she was also Miss Maine. Does that come with any?
Does that pay a lot, Miss Maine?
But maybe some advertising opportunities up in Maine?
That's on a crab fishing boat, not this yacht, I don't think.
But here's the thing. Now, does she realize that Bill Belichick is still trying to get back into coaching? So, I mean, she is going to have to part some time with him that job.
I think she's probably disappointed he didn't get a job. Right? Isn't that how this goes?
Yeah,
like, listen, I'm not trying to see you all the time. I'm just learning this now because I saw, you know, I can't escape it, the headlines when you're flipping through some of these pages. And this is the part that got me, Joe. The two bonded over a philosophy project that she had been working on, exchanged contact information.
That's it.
They bonded over philosophy. The 72-year-old and the 24-year-old bonding over philosophy. That's a predator. What are you talking about? That's not what happens. That's like the plot of one of these movies that are on like Cinemax at the middle of the night.
That's right.
No.
You don't think 48 years they can have a connection?
I think anytime you're talking philosophy with somebody under the age of 40,
yeah,
you have an ulterior motive.
I would say so.
What deep philosophical thing is Bill Belichick trying to learn from the 24-year-old?
We'll have to ask him.
I mean, you know, you've got some great life experience. Your eyes really been opened. You went to college, yeah. All right. Oh, you smoke out of that bong once and it really opened your mind to a lot of things. Yeah, we can learn. You're so interesting, right? That's what Belichick was saying.
72. Belichick is 72 and she's 24.
It's like three times her age.
Yeah. 48.
Almost exactly.
I mean, 48-year difference. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Again, hey, if they're happy, that's great. But just like this picture of them on the airplane, he's wearing a Rutgers hoodie.
Is that always true, though? If they're happy, that's great. He's happy because she's 24. She's happy because he has a boatload of money.
Do you think the money played part in it?
I don't know, but like everyone loves to say that, right? Oh, well, if they're both happy, you know, it's like Rupert Murdoch getting married at like 90.
Right.
Whatever he is.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're both happy. Like, that's great. What if they're happy? No one, you'd never go to a wedding and, you know, the priest or, you know, usually now it's just like somebody who someone knows.
Yeah.
Or me.
Yeah.
Is up there. You know, it's like, you know, what a, The second I saw these two, I just knew they'd be perfect together. She likes nice things, and he has a lot of money. And, you know, he likes good looks, and she is just at the gym all the time because she doesn't have to work anymore. It's really the perfect union. You never hear that. No. That's always like the dirty secret behind everything. But would people go, well, they're both happy. It's fine.
That's what I say. I mean, he's 72. Let him enjoy life. It's funny, though, Brian, because you're not the only one. According to the New York Post, her beauty pageant pals have said, and I quote from the article, didn't realize she would do that for fame. They're not saying money. They're saying for fame.
Yeah, they're surprised that the person in the beauty pageant would do that for fame. That's, I can't believe it.
By the way, less than a year after Bill Belichick was officially divorced, he is now with a 24-year-old. I'm sure
Well, she's a retired cheerleader. If your boyfriend gets fired by the team, you can't be a cheerleader for that team anymore.
If she was the actual for the Patriots, I might have just assumed, and you know what happens when you assume. But yeah, if your boyfriend has been let go, I can't imagine you would continue cheering.
I've seen Belichick on the sidelines. He doesn't look like he's focused on the cheerleaders.
No.
He's got a grimace on his face. Or if he is, he disapproves of their performance. He never looks
happy.
That's
true. Well, I always think of, weren't there cheerleaders standing by when that video where he's walking in Detroit and the kids trying to give him the high five him and he just walks right by him? Aren't there also cheerleaders that he's just walking right by as well?
I don't remember that one. That's one. I found that out today and I've just been, look, those two tabs have been open on my browser the entire morning.
It is funny that you just, it does show the accounts, right? Like TMZ and New York Post are regular checkups for me on a daily basis. So I this is about a week old news for me. And
just finding out about it now. I feel like I'm too young to hang out with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And I'm 10 years older than she is. Like, I think I'm too old to hang out with her.
I had the same thought. 24, that's, if it was single Joe Beamer and I was in the dating game, I would say 24 is just a little too young. I almost said too old, but I meant to say too young. It's a little
Watch
young.
Your words.
I mean, someone in your mid 30s and someone in their early to mid 20s. I mean,
I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a lot different than I was in my mid 20s.
Well, I think even culturally, now it's that thing we always talk about. You know, us and somebody 10 years younger than us. It's so completely different.
Yeah.
Like, just everything you grew up with. What's the age range? You can let us know. 803-0930, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. We're talking about Belichick's dating game. Because I just found out about it. I didn't know. I wasn't up on the gossip. But he's got a 24-year-old girlfriend.
He's 72.
He's 72 and a 24-year-old girlfriend. And you brought something up, you know, before, because I said, you know, I don't think me and Belichick could have a lot in common. I'm, you know, 10 years older than his girlfriend. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. You know, I don't think I, as a 34-year-old, would be able to date a 24-year-old.
No.
In the modern era. And I wonder if, like, that's changed for anybody out there, because, you know, the older you get, like, the age matters a little bit less.
Right.
I would imagine. Like, once you get, you know, into your 30s or something, you know, age different. It could be 10 years or something like that. It doesn't matter quite as much. But I think the modern times, there's like a cutoff line somewhere right around, if somebody's like 30 years old right now, 30 and younger. Right now, I don't think could be with anybody 31 and older right
Ooh,
now.
That's an interesting cutoff.
And that cutoff is going to continue for the rest of time. And of course, it's not foolproof.
Right.
Like, nothing's 100%.
Right. Belichick's making it work.
Yeah, well, we'll see if that lasts. Well, they say he turned the hearing aid off, and, you know, that's how he makes it work.
That's right.
But that like, we talk about all the time, there's that, like, that age that technology changed, right?
Right.
Where it's like the smartphone took over, and you have a whole bunch of people who grew up without the internet, and then there's like a point in time where that changes, and you have a whole bunch of people who grew up only knowing the internet, and now like only knowing smartphones,
right?
Like as like something that everybody had.
Yeah, there are adults who have only had high definition television their entire life.
Yeah, like that kind of. But that technology cutoff.
Right. Yes.
I feel like has to play into the dating game where...
Difficult to relate on certain things.
Yeah, like say before, now the Belichick example would always be ridiculous, right? But say before, you know, maybe there was somebody who's 24 and somebody who was 36 or something, and they got together, and it would be like, oh, wow, that's a pretty big age difference, but, you know, you can always make it work. Whereas now... Like, those two people have lived their entire lives so differently. Like, one person remembers where they were on 9/11.
Yeah.
And the other person wasn't alive when it happened.
Isn't that... We work with people who don't remember 9/11. Like, to me, that's
just... Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that day like it was yesterday, and I was in seventh grade.
So, like, one person, you know, got their first... taste of a smartphone, like they saw the whole thing, you know, when they were kids, people didn't have cell phones, and the other person had known nothing other than having Google in your pocket all the time.
Right, a flip phone is like a joke from a television show they watched.
Like, there's got to be such a significant difference there where I think that there's a line that's hard to cross and will be maybe for like the next 30 years.
Maybe. I mean, I definitely get that, and knowing that by talking to people here, again, we work with, there are, you know, a lot of the part-timers here, Brian, are in their early 20s. They don't know any of the stuff. You know, they don't know the first iPhone. They thought cell phones have always had a touchscreen. But yeah, there is such a disconnect, and that's on top of stuff that already changes when you get older, right? Like, when I was in my mid-20s, I still knew the popular music. I could tell you who the top 10 artists were. I would say over the last like 3 years, I could not name you the top 10 songs in America now. And that's, unless they're the top 10 country songs. And that's probably for the first time in a long time. Like my 20s, I was still on top of everything, still on top of pop culture. Factor that in, that's always been there on top of the difference in upbringing with technology, and I think it's a different situation than it's ever been.
Yeah, you have the normal things that like would
separate,
be
you
a
at
difference,
age. Yeah.
And then I just think the huge technology void, like that 2009 cutoff,
yeah.
Where if you were born, anything more recent than the year 2005, like you just can't relate to anybody born, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's just, it's such a different upbringing.
Try to explain to, you know, someone in their 20s now about plugging your phone into a cassette and so you could listen to it auxiliary through the cassette player.
But it's gonna seem like, you know, I was thinking more of just like it's got to just change you as a person. Just always having this technology available versus growing up a little bit differently. But with what you were saying there, it's almost like me talking to like my grandmother and like hearing the stories she told. Like,
yeah,
you can't date somebody who's telling these stories that make you sound like you're 100 years old.
Right. Like, hey, I remember the first car that had FM radio in it. What? You know what I mean? I mean, there are just, but we've never, I don't think. Now, I realize you had a generation that came up with radio and with TV, but I don't think we've ever had such a significant difference in technology during upbringing than we have in the mm-hmm. age gap that you're, it's never changed that quickly than we were able to witness.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever had a technological boom like that.
I think there's a line to cross.
But they're happy, Brian, right? I mean, I go back to, if they're happy, you know, congratulations. I don't think they're going to get married, but congratulations.
You don't?
No, I don't.
I'm no expert in the relationship, but I would tend to agree with you, Joe.
Yeah.
I think that's it. All right.
And can I just say this to the, and maybe this proves our thinking wrong, but you know, it says, didn't realize she'd do that for fame. She's a very attractive 24-year-old. I mean, you could, to play devil's advocate, well, couldn't she find someone younger that would also, as this person put it, get her fame? You know what I mean? Like, so maybe we're wrong here.
I'm open to being wrong.
Yeah.
Open to being wrong. Joe, I feel like everyone thinks we're stupid. Not you and me, but just the general public.
Yeah.
I feel like people think that we're stupid. Because first, you have, I had another thing that I'm just discovering, the AP fact check article. That's probably another one that's a week old that I'm just seeing the AP. I'm not a big, you know, it's not on my bookmarks here, the fact check page.
I believe I saw that Monday night because this is from an event over the weekend.
Yeah. The AP fact check, which said, actually, no, that's, the president didn't freeze on stage at a fundraiser. He paused and then walked off the stage. There's a video of this happening. You don't need a fact check of a video. The video speaks for itself.
Right. Well, they're calling that a cheap fake.
Yeah, that's not... So, like, there's this whole thing going on, right, where it's... Don't... You're not... What you see, you're an idiot. Like, don't believe anything you see, whatever. Then... I have this from this morning.
Living to 100 may depend on making healthy lifestyle choices, even in your later years. Scientists in China studied thousands of people over the age of 80. They found that those who had higher lifestyle scores, factoring in things like exercise, diet, and smoking habits, were significantly more likely to become centenarians. The study, published in JAMA Network Open, suggests healthy choices matter, no matter your age.
So that was an actual news report about an actual study coming from actual researchers in an actual country about how making healthy choices will help you live a longer life. You know, like eating good foods, staying active. This is breaking new research that we had to bring you on the news that says, hey, guess what? If you want to live longer, try to be healthy.
Yeah. What a wild, wild thought.
Am I an idiot? Like, did I need to... what? I think people think I'm stupid.
But, you know, to that point, because I have something to say about the AP as well, but to that point, and maybe I'm wrong because I will be a complete hypocrite when talking about politics, but maybe there are... I mean, why do we continue to get this content? Maybe there are people out there, or maybe they're just trying to stress the importance of living a healthy lifestyle because, Brian, as we know... the obesity and overweight numbers in this country continue to tick up. So maybe that's why they keep doing these like,
maybe it does need to be stressed. Okay.
We're trying to tell you something.
And then the story we've been talking about all week is I've got a big building down in the cobblestone district that is just completely destroyed. It's rubble. And it already had scaffolding there to watch out so that, you know, I could walk there with my son on the way to the arena and not have a brick fall on our heads. And now the bricks are everywhere over, they might have sweeped them toward the building out of the street, but you still can't walk down there, emergency, but everything's fine and we'll find somebody who's going to gladly take this over and reuse the building. And it's totally fine that the building, no one's looking at it like it's blight in the, you know, downtown right next to the big sports arena and the train station and the bars and restaurants and everything. It's totally okay. We'll put a sign that says it's old.
Yeah.
Like, am I stupid?
No, it's that one. And this is something that I guarantee the story's not going away. And you know why I say that, Brian? Because just listen to the mayor today. I mean, listen to the talk around it. This story is not going away. And I think it's a bad look, summertime, downtown Buffalo. And like you said, I mean, October isn't as far away as you think. I cannot believe that we're having this discussion. I cannot believe that the city is going to do whatever they can to keep the pile of bricks that is so unsafe, you can't walk by it. And I know we talked to a business owner who said they want to keep the... I'd like to talk to, you know, every business owner in that area. How many of those business owners want that pile of bricks to stay the way it is? Because I can't imagine that's good for business.
I feel like everybody's being given like a false, you know, I was listening to this show the other day about the marijuana debate, you know, the legalization of marijuana. And they were talking about some poll results and how they can be misleading. Because if you ask somebody, you know, do you favor legalization of marijuana or, you know, criminalizing marijuana, then, like, that's a bad question to ask because it's giving you, like, those aren't really the two options.
Right.
Because the options would be, well, you could have full legalization, you could have a decriminalization, which would be another option, or you could have, you know, it being prohibited, and you get wildly different results if you present the two different questions, right? And I kind of feel like, you know, we did a story on it. It's been elsewhere where you're asking people, you know, oh, would you rather see this building preserved or knocked down for whatever? And I feel like it's not the right question because it's presenting a false narrative about right. what is actually happening. The question is, do you want to have what's currently there for the next, I mean, what's being realistic here? You know, if we look at other developments and how long it's taken to get up, when was the first press conference about the new building that is going to be in that donut, a 190 ramp right next to Pearl Street downtown?
Oh, geez. Yeah.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Right. And it's still going to happen.
Right.
And I'm not doubting that there's going to be something in the plan, but it still looks the same way it did two, three years ago when right. that was announced. The 201 Ellicott down, there was a big project where the city had the land. The RFP process, design process. Okay, now we're awarding it to the developer. Then they have to build it, and then we build, and then we're going to find, you know, oh, not this supermarket, but that supermarket, and this and that, and you know, finally we're there. But it took years and years and years to get there. So the question is, do you want what you see now for the next 3-4 years, or should it be knocked down,
cleaned up? Cleaned up.
Cleaned up.
Yeah.
It does, not even necessarily
that
totally.
That is the question.
Cleaned up, anything else, anything else.
Right.
Option B is anything else. Because that's the real question. Because if you say, oh, would you like it preserved or would you like it knocked down? I think most people are going to say, yeah, I'd like it preserved. Yeah. I would like to see it preserved. I would love to see the building preserved. The question is, do you want something done now or do you want something done in 5 years?
Yeah, I want something done before the puck drops.
Yes, yeah. Me too.
We've had this discussion now a few times about the historic buildings and the old buildings. And yes, I think it's, you know, we were talking this morning about the Theodore Roosevelt inauguration site, right? And the fight that went along that, Brian, for decades. And I'm glad that, hey, that's there. It's a piece of American history in our backyard. But not every old building is worth saving. And this has gone past the... It does upset me that the city is spending so much time and resources on this pile of bricks when you have a beautiful, empty building on Main Street downtown with no plans to do anything with. We're putting a road. We're bringing cars back to downtown on Main Street. And you have one of the biggest structures completely vacant at Main Place Mall. But the city is more concerned about a pile of bricks. See, that's what frustrates me. Again, I love history. I love the history of Buffalo. And if you can preserve it, great. That ship has sailed on this. Let's spend some resources about, hey, there's cars on Main Street. Maybe not a big, empty, former mall sitting there that's now been empty for 5 years.
I just feel like everyone thinks I'm stupid.
I don't think you're stupid, Brian.
Judging from what I've seen in the last week all around the news. We'll go to the phones, 803-0930. Lots to talk about today. Joe in Newstead, you're on WBEN. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
Okay, so earlier you guys were talking about a dating divide, and one of the things you brought up was, you know, if you were of an age where you could remember 9/11. And I kind of wanted to put you guys on a spot for a second.
Uh-oh.
Say you were talking to somebody that didn't experience 9/11. How would you explain why it happened and what we did as a result of that? How would you sum it up in like a elevator speech to get it across to to people. I'd love to hear how you guys would explain it.
In the Cliff Notes version. Joe, thanks for the call. You go first.
I would say it was some people who hated this country that were funded by a terrorist organization who got in over the months leading to September 11th, and they hijacked planes, and they brought down what was a symbol of unity, of a booming economy. And, you know, they killed thousands of Americans and others that day. And it was, you know, a very tragic event. And again, I think it highlighted that there are people, for me it was, as a seventh grader, 9/11 highlighted that, wow, there are people in this world who hate Americans to the point where they will kill. And as a result, we went to defeat those terrorist cells. Now, what the success or not of the wars were, that's, I think, a different discussion. But that's how I would describe 9/11. And it brought the country together, something that we have not seen to that extent since.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming if you're asking me, you're asking how I, like, what was it like living through 9/11? You can go on Wikipedia and read about what happened.
Oh, okay.
I just, it's the most important moment,
yes,
thing that happened in my lifetime.
Yeah.
So far. Hands down. I mean, to somebody my age who, you know, I didn't live through the world wars. That is the most important moment where the world changed on that day of absolutely, yep, everything you could think of. You went from life in the 90s, you're after the Cold War. It was about as carefree and loose,
yeah,
as you could possibly get, really.
Arguably what set it up to happen.
To just, in an instant, yep, everything changed. And there's been nothing like that.
In the way we fly.
In my lifetime.
The way we fly has forever been changed. Remember when you could walk someone to the gate?
Yeah.
Even if you weren't flying?
Well, there's a million little things. Yeah. I just like the mood of day-to-day life in a million different, but the mood of society changed in an instant.
Yes.
Right there. And we have never gotten back to that, like, 90s era moment of, you felt careful. I mean, right, you felt like almost as if war was not going to impact you at all.
Right.
Like, you were in just the safest place in the world all the time. Changed.
Yeah. Good question, Joe. I appreciate the call.
Try dating somebody who you had to have that conversation with.
Yeah. I mean, that would be an early conversation, though, right? I mean, that would be early on in the dating, I would assume.
Could you say that, like what we just said, to somebody? Been like...
And that was 9/11.
Like, and still felt like you're like, all right, what am I, your grandpa? Like, we need to see other people.
Because it was such a significant event. Again, I don't remember driving to work this morning. I couldn't tell you what song came on the radio. I remember being in Dr. Boz's class on 9/11, watching CNN. But
from the point of a relationship, like, I could never be with somebody where I'm like a history teacher.
Yeah, well, you're,
of things that happened in my lifetime.
Your whole life. Well, you're just... Oh,
tell me what was... I could never imagine being with somebody. Hey, what was... what was the rotary phone like?
By the way, someone did point out, Bill Belichick, probably older than this girl's parents.
Yeah.
Unless they had her over when they were older than 48.
Grandparents.
Yeah,
maybe.
Right?
Maybe. All right, we'll be back here next week.
Hardline Sunday. Challengers in two of the Republican primaries will be joining me, Mitch Martin and Mario Fratto. Also, a debate preview. So make sure you don't miss Hardline Sunday at 10. And if you miss it at 10, Brian, make sure you listen at 6 p.m. here on News Radio 930 WBEN. David is next.